Hi there, lovelies. I'm just sending you one final physical from the temple. We're coming right up to the nose with the physical pillar here, but we've had a few questions in this week, and I just wanted to speak to them for those of you who want the extra recording. Okay, so let's get straight on in there. Sorry, I've got a frog in my throat. Okay. Okay, so I've had an email off of a lovely lady, Sue, who's doing the course with us, making sort of two points really about, firstly about meditation, and then another one about doing enough here on the physical. As I said to Sue in my reply, if you're the sort of person that tends to ask yourself, am I doing enough? Am I really doing enough for, my friends, my family, the wider world? The answer most likely is yes, because you have that awareness of how important it is to do. And I just wanted to speak to this for a little bit because I was sort of sitting with it for a while, and I was seeing that it's like, we also have to look at, where we're putting our energy, where are we working in the physical? Because we can also do too much. We can also get too entrenched in the physical world, in the particularly the lower physical world of human beings a lot of the time, societies, stuff, material things, and I say this a lot in my dragon training. It's like, come out of that human world every now and again and come back to nature, which I know we've reiterated through this training as well. We have to look on the physical plane, especially when we're working with other people and we're in that world of, the human zone, of what kind of physical work actually suits us. So when I sort of sat with this question that Sue's sent in, was just like, am I doing enough? How do I know if I'm doing enough? It's like, we'd all love to, we all have our own role to play, really. And some of us are very actively out there. Some of us are more in the background. And I think particularly as a person who does work more in the background personally, when I try to put myself out there too much, I go against my own nature. I break my own circle, and I'm not so powerful as I might be when I'm working behind the scenes and I'm working individually with people and working through trainings like this. Some of us are meant to be very, very, very out there and very in the world, and some of us aren't so much. And both are fine because we're, like I keep saying, throughout this training, and the more that I go into transference and the more that I go into spirituality, we're always finding balance, we're always looking for balance. So to expect us all to do the same amount in the physical world is sort of unbalanced, because some of us are more emotional in nature, some of us are more spiritual, some of us are more mental, and some of us are more physical. So yeah, it was an interesting question to sit with, an interesting point to sit with. And also, in another email, I had a really interesting play on words that I really liked. Let's see if I can explain this. Okay, so God is good with the O taken out, and the devil is evil with the D added on, the D taken out. And when you put the O and the D together, you get odd. No, you get do. You get the word do. So, we look at good and evil, we look at God and we look at the devil, and I don't want to get overly religious about this. I just like the play on words. It stuck with me. You look at taking that O away, taking that D away from good and evil, or adding that O to it, sorry, adding that O to good and taking the D away from evil. We're looking at the word do anyway. And this is really interesting, you know, it sort of steers what we do. So if you look at God and the devil, good and evil, so much of that, you know, is about what we do. And I like the play on words. I don't really know what my point is, but I just wanted to speak to that because it's very interesting, isn't it? How sometimes you look at these words and you go, well, yeah, just the doing quality of being a human and how we can do good or we can do evil, you know, and in each moment, you know, it's important to sort of try and discern which one, where we're working from, you know, which one we're serving. So that was a little observation on that. I've been feeling this week lots of difficulties in the physical pillar, actually. I was feeling a little bit pulled in, a little bit sucked into the sort of human world and just seeing, like I said, I've been doing a lot of truth discernment recently and seeing and feeling various kind of feels like anomalies in our world where you're sort of seeing that things don't quite make sense the way they used to. And you know, that can knock us off balance. And looking for me personally, looking at some of the human tendencies that we all have that steer us into places of separation, places of cruelty, places of manipulation maybe, but more corruption, you know, just that kind of aspect of being human and being on the physical, because these things do exist. And it can make it very difficult to be here. I was kind of very much feeling that pulling on me last week. But luckily not for long. From doing this training, I'm realizing, you know, when I feel that way, for me, I have to get myself out of the human arena a little bit and back to nature and, you know, recharge myself a little bit. I'm getting kind of bogged down in that human world that is, as we said, imperfect and fairly young compared to the wisdom kingdom that is Gaia. So yeah, I found myself having a day where I was just completely in nature and I was finding my, you know, like I just really realizing that I need to turn off my radio, I need to turn off my TV, I need to turn off my phone, and I need to just be in nature. And I mention this in case it's useful for any of you guys, in case you have any of those feelings yourself. At the same time as realizing this, I got this email from Sue, who was talking about doing enough in the human world, but also talking about meditation. And I wanted to speak about this because I feel this question or this observation is so universal. It's for us all, really, that feeling of like when I try to meditate, I don't feel that I go that deep. I don't feel that I don't have these experiences that other people talk about. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm just sitting there being, as opposed to, you know, in any deep state of meditation. For what it's worth, Sue, me too. It doesn't come every time that I sit that I feel that I go into deep states of meditation. I also, when I first started to meditate, I used to get really confused about what it actually was that I was doing. And for me, I've realized that, there's three different places where I go when I meditate. I'm either in the process of introspection, which is my favorite form of meditation, actually, which is when I look very closely at what is happening inside of me. So I'm not necessarily trying to achieve anything. I'm just looking at what's going on in my physical body, what's going on in my emotional body, what's going on for me spiritually, what's going on for me mentally. And I just practice being with that as fully as possible. And allowing whatever that is to percolate through my system. And if I don't want it, just letting it percolate right the way through me down into the ground so I can release it and give it to Gaia. So introspection for me is my preferred form of meditation, where I sit and I just look inside. And for me, I don't get bored doing this. I don't feel like I'm trying to do something. I actually find it quite fascinating because you start to notice as you introspect that you're constantly changing and constantly moving energy, and there's so many lessons, there's so much understanding to be had when we tap into ourselves. And it's beautiful and it can be very healing, actually, giving ourselves that kind of time. The second form of meditation that I would do would be observation, which is kind of different to introspection. It's when you're just observing something, but you're not actually going into it. You're just becoming the observer. You're seeing it and watching it go past you as if you're detaching yourself from everything. Observation is really quite interesting because once you get into the groove of observing what's going on for you, you're not trying to make anything happen. You're just saying, well, there's that thought, there's that feeling, there's this, there's that. Once you and but you're not taking yourself deeply into it. In introspection, I drop myself deeply into everything that's happening. I take myself there, I let myself go there, and it can be wild and yeah, very, very healing, very, very beautiful. Observation's more about detachment, where you're just watching things go past and you're just saying to them, yeah, there you are, but that's you and I'm here. That's you and I'm here. And you're letting things pass and you're saying to your thoughts, not right now. I see you, but not right now. I'm not getting involved. It's also very healing. Gives us a lot of space, actually, a lot of mental space when we start to do this. And also, for me personally, I've realized that you're connecting to that witness consciousness, that you're going, well, if I'm watching myself, what is watching myself, which connects you more into that sort of source consciousness as well, more into the source of things. So can be equally as wild and as healing and as amazing if you, but a little bit takes a little bit longer than introspection. I like introspection because it's quick, because I'm not as patient as you might think. So yeah, observation is the same kind of thing, but it takes longer to establish that, and it takes longer for things to happen when we're doing that. And then we've also got concentration, which is when we take our awareness to a point of focus and we just stay there, and we just stay there, and we concentrate and we keep ourselves in that one-pointed state. This is great as well. Concentration's great for the mental plane, and we'll go into this more when we get to the mental plane. It's great for us mentally because the mind likes to just do one thing at a time. The mind gets very, very super honed when we're just concentrating on one thing at a time. And we're so externally orientated that when we have a point of focus internally and we just concentrate on that, it actually makes the mind very, very strong. And balances that external world with our internal world. But like anything, meditation, whatever form you take, whether it's like observation, detachment, or concentration, or introspection, which can be sitting still or it can be moving. You can be doing this in your day-to-day life. There's loads of ways in there. I found meditation through yoga. I needed to move before I could really, I needed to get moving and connect with myself to a point in my yoga practice before I could really start to sit still. But it takes a long time, you know, it takes a long, long time. And it comes when it comes. And as soon as we start to put an expectation onto ourselves when we're doing things like meditation, we're adding density, we're adding weight. And we've been talking about this through the physical plane, how, you know, it gets heavy and slower and more difficult. And what we're doing, you know, through the course of this training on the physical pillar, especially, is we're breaking up that density. And you know, it's that's why doing is so great, because doing moves a lot of energy, it shifts a lot of energy, it breaks things up. And some of us are born to do, and some of us are born to be, and you know, we're all so different. We all have every aspect inside of us, but some are more dominant than others. So we all have that potential to meditate, or we all have that potential to go out and make a real difference in the world. But some of us, you know, it's more dominant than others. So it's really important to kind of know ourselves. And once we start to know ourselves, you know, then we work way more efficiently in the physical world, in the world. Okay, so next thing. Like I say, I've had a bit of a tricky last couple of days. Has been quite tricky, you know, feeling that disturbance of the lower physical world and the lower consciousness of humanity. Actually, really, just how disturbing that can be, and how discombobulating that can be. And having to drop myself into nature. And I'm also feeling that the emotional pillar is really pending. You know, I can really feel us coming to the end of this section and coming, you know, more into that emotional world inside of us. I felt my heart actually feeling quite weighty. I felt my more empathic traits switching on this week, and I feel that that's in preparation for next week, for Wednesday when we're sending out the recording. So it's beautiful really how to feel that, and I mention that just in case any of you guys are feeling that too, because it really helped me to, you know, I've sort of had a moment where I was like, oh, my heart feels so heavy and I feel so affected. And I feel, you know, so at the mercy of all of this external stuff and what's going on with me. And when I went into that, I was told in no uncertain terms, you know, this is the emotional pillar. This is the preparation for the emotional pillar. You're coming out of the physical now. And really interestingly, I saw a friend of mine the other day, and she was saying how she's been listening to the recordings and just doing a fab job with it, really, just a great job working through her physical pillar. And she spoke about the group healing that we had and the comment that I made about karmic healing and healing our karma, particularly through that first fall in Atlantis. And she said, you know, with everything else, she gets a real sort of sense of the energy of it, but she really struggled to understand what I was talking about and struggled to get a sense of that for herself. So I tried to explain it. to know to and I feel like, we I didn't really kind of hit the mark with my explanation. Interestingly enough, I feel that it's because we're still in the physical pillar. And when we talk about karma, this is more about the astral body and more about our emotional body. But I just wanted to speak to this because it just really interested me that I was realizing how difficult it is to tap into the emotional body. I can feel it looming, but I was like, I couldn't quite tap into that stream to explain karma in a concise way, because we're working on the physical. And also because in this physical plane, there's been so much misunderstanding about what karma actually is and how karma actually works. So we're going to go into that more over the next couple of weeks. And I just want to encourage, particularly my friend, but any of you, to ask questions if there's stuff that you're just not feeling or you're not getting, or it's just not reaching you. Just drop me a line and let me know. And I'm hoping that as we move into the emotional pillar, the understanding of the astral body and karma will click in for my friend. But if not, I hope that I know that she'll keep asking me until she gets more of an understanding of that. But yeah, really, really interesting how difficult it was to tap into that in this physical world, because our karma contains a lot of our pain. Our karma contains a lot of the things that we continually get wrong, or we continually, it's like the things where we sort of mess up over and over again, or the big mistakes we've made, or the big, the big lessons we've had to learn. And sometimes it can be really difficult to go there, because it can be quite a painful place. But yeah, we but in order to heal our karma, we have to go there. There's no way, we can't avoid it. But yeah, so interesting how difficult it was to tap that in the physical plane. Of course, me and my friend were out on a walk, we were in nature, we were in the physical world, and it's so difficult to really tap into that. Yeah, karma is one of them things. One of my favorite sayings is the karma drama. When we're feeling that same old crap over again, like, why do I always do this? Why do I always feel this feeling? What is this about me? It's a karma drama. 9 times out of 10, it's something to do with our karma. I really like the whole idea of sort of playing like the Coronation Street theme tune. So the other day when I was feeling, quite low in my boots, my empathic senses had come online for a little while in preparation for the emotional pillar. And I was just feeling all of this sort of distortion. It's just distortion in the mass consciousness of humanity, but in the people around me, just feeling that and thinking, this is it's so confusing. It makes my heart feel so heavy. It's so difficult to be with that. Now looking back, I wish I'd have kind of just gone, oh, Coronation Street, oh, Coronation Street, because that's my drama. That's my karma drama, where I'm tapping into that, saying, this is so hard. This is so bad. This makes me feel so sad. And I see that now. It's like we all have these places where we're taken, where we sort of feel into something, and it feels so familiar and so difficult and so heavy and so like impossible for us. And that usually is our karma. So it's no surprise to me that We couldn't really get there because me and my friend were having such a lovely time on our walk, and we, you know, it was like, you know, we'll save this one for another day. Okay, I'm just gonna double check that there's nothing else. Yeah, nothing else to say. Oh, other than to say that when I realized this heaviness in my heart was me preparing to come into the emotional pillar. I was realizing the pain body, actually, like how much pain there is in the heart, how much there's joy in the heart, yeah, but there's a ton of pain there. In our human world, in our society at large, we've got a big pain body, you know. Yeah, and I was sort of told by my guides just to let this run through me and know that some of this isn't mine. Some of this doesn't belong to me. Which really helped, actually. It really helped because I was sort of feeling, you know, why? What's wrong with me? Why do I feel all of this? You know, and that's my karma. That's just my karma. You know, and I'll just talk briefly about sort of that empathic way of being. I know we're not quite in the emotional pillar, but we're heading there for sure. Yeah, the gift of the empath is that we take on we we're able to an empath is able to really take on the other person, really feel the other person, really understand the other person to the point of you can feel sometimes like you're mimicking the other person, which is part of my drama where I'm like, what's going on with me? Why am I losing myself to that other person? The loss of the self is the flip side of the gift. So when we are very empathic, we feel the other person, and that's such a gift. But if that's not in balance, we start to lose ourselves in that. Because to a point, to feel another person, you have to let go of yourself. So it's a real fine line. Yeah, it's a real fine line. And I'm talking about this in case this is helpful. If in case this is helpful to any of you guys, you know, as we're moving towards the emotional pillar. I know for me, it really helped me to stop judging myself for the losing of myself in these other people and these other things temporarily, and to remember know that I was doing that and pull myself back. And also, it really helped me to realize that sometimes so much of what we're feeling doesn't actually belong to us. And that's also part of my Coronation Street theme tune is taking on responsibility for everything and everyone. And that's karma. So we are well and truly going into our karma, I'm sure, in the next couple of months, but I just wanted to go there a little bit deeper because it's intrigued me how difficult it is to go there when you're entrenched in the physical. And through this training, I'm hoping to take you guys into the physical in a big way, so you really get a feeling of that, then into the emotional plane in a big way. So you really get a feeling of that, then into the mental plane, then into the spiritual plane. So you can really distinguish the one from the other. And this hopefully will help us to realize when we are too far into one specific place and we need to balance. We need to balance the pillars of the temple. So at this point in time, I'm hoping you guys are at least 60% full in your physical pillar, 60% full up of your physicality, or fed up of your physicality and the physical world, but really, you know, having that 60% awareness. And know that that's starting to drop away now as we're coming more into the emotional plane. So, whatever emotional processes might be happening for you at the moment, just let them be. And, we'll go deeper into that in the next couple of weeks. So this is definitely, absolutely and utterly going to be the last message from the temple, as far as the physical pillar goes. You'll get your recordings on Wednesday. I believe that's the 1st of December. Wednesday the 1st, and I wish you love, and I wish you a good few days in the physical plane. Enjoy our beautiful, beautiful Mother Gaia. Enjoy your beautiful, beautiful physical bodies, and all my love. Bye bye.